Lord God, last Sunday I used an illustration. We were talking about the brevity of life compared to eternity, and we used a border string and the coloured bit at the end, which was no more than 1.5 inches in length, compared to the rest of that string, which went on for a long, long way. And spending this life, our time in this life, compared to eternity, is, as the Bible says, like smoke, like a vapour, like a breath. Hallelujah. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And that wasn't to keep us morbid or anything. It was so that we could, by with God's help, reflect on what we're doing with our life, how we're bringing up our children, the attitudes that we have to work, to our neighbours, the attitudes that we have to the Lord Jesus himself. What will count? Will we have regrets or rewards? And very, very important. And as somebody said to me after the sermon, he said, now it's the application of it, Jim. And that's true, isn't it? So I'm just wondering, you know, I've been reminded of it from time to time this week. And I'm just wondering what the Lord has been saying to you. Has it made any difference? Because if it hasn't, then preaching is in vain. I don't believe that's God's will. God wants us to make a difference. Hallelujah. To live for Jesus. To have passion for him. To have a zeal for him. Hallelujah. To live those godly lives that draw attention. Blessed be his name. I want you to turn this morning, please, to
2 Chronicles and chapter 20.
2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this morning's sermon is entitled "In praise invites God to act." Praise, thanksgiving invites God to act. And we're going to read an account which most of you will be familiar with. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll read verses 1 down to verse 30. Hallelujah. Praise invites God to act. So as we come to the Word of God, let us humbly, soberly ask him to speak to us this morning from his Word, and that we will be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Hallelujah. This is the precious Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Will you speak to us? Speak to me from your Word. Let it be a life-giving word, a word that brings us into the truth, a word that liberates us, a word that sets us on that path that will bring glory and honour to your name and glory eternal. Verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are at Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeor, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by the accent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness to Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. But the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there, they were 3 days gathering the spoil, because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Barakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. What a great chapter. Amen. What a super chapter. And many of us could get something from a lot of that. And you could preach many verses. In fact, what I really, the text is from verse 19. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Friends, this what we have read is God's word. And I believe this morning it may be a word which we have read just for you.
God may be giving another word to somebody else, but this is the word of God.
And as I say, I've entitled this sermon, Praise Invites God to Act. Praise does not manipulate God, praise invites God to act.
Interestingly, isn't it? Jehoshaphat
was an interesting character, a man of contrast. His character, his reign was one of contrast. And we know that Jehoshaphat made some really, really wrong and ungodly alliances. For example, with Jezebel's husband and their two sons, and also with Israel and so on. But nevertheless, God used him. Hallelujah. Mightily, mightily. Praise be to the Lord. I think there's also a lesson for us who are leaders and pastors that, you know, Jehoshaphat did compromise. I mean, he knew what to do right, and he set to bring a good rule back to Judah, etc. But nevertheless, he gave in to pressure. He gave in to, if you like, the fear of man. And so he had these ungodly alliances, etc. And we, as leaders and as people, we must be careful we don't go with the crowd. If the crowd's going the wrong way, then we have to be like the live fish and swim t'other way. Dead fish swim the way the tide's going. They go with the way of the world, with everyone else. Sometimes we have to go against the flow. So there's a lesson for me, there's a lesson for us, that we stay faithful and loyal to the Lord and not give in to what may be popular if it's not godly and good. This is a great chapter. I love it. I do hope God is speaking to you from it and giving you some encouragement this morning. I don't know what battles you may be facing in your personal life, in your marriage, in your family, in your finance, at work, with a neighbour. I don't know. God knows. The Lord will speak to you this morning. Speak to me, hey. My son, my daughter, it's too big for you. The battle belongs to me. Salvation will come. Salvation will come. Deliverance will come. A way, a breakthrough will come. But it comes through praise. Praise invites God to act. Did you notice, you know, our text is, you know, Jehoshaphat didn't wait to see the enemies defeated. He made sure Judah was praising. He made sure they were praising the Lord. That's faith. Friends, it's good. You know, the scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Enter his gates. That's faith. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him every day. Doesn't say go out. Yes, we will go out, but we come in. That's the exercise of faith. We will go out. The trees will be clapping their hands and so on. We will go out with joy if we've been in the presence of the Lord. Even if it's a convicting word, we will know God has spoken and he is for us and wants us to live close to him. He wants us to pursue him. Faith. Praise, thanksgiving invites the Lord to act. So in your circumstance this morning, are you already praising God for your deliverance? If it's a healing, if it's something that is really, really laying heavy upon you, and naturally it is a seemingly hopeless situation, are we praising God already for his healing, for his deliverance? Not waiting for it to happen. Praising God invites God to act. For that salvation, the salvation of your child, one who's gone away, truly prodigal, is it just complaining or is it actually thanking God? I'm going to thank you, God. even though you may delay. I'm still trusting you. Praise invites God to act. Faith comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Think of Jonah. Jonah in the belly of the fish, in the tummy of the fish. Jonah had run away from the Lord. He'd run away from the vision that God had given to him. He didn't want to hear. He went the opposite way. So God arranged for a big, big fish to swallow Jonah up. In the belly of the fish, in the tummy of this great fish, in chapter 2, we read Jonah's prayer. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 2, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto dry land. The Lord responded to Jonah's praise and faith. "I'm going to praise you." It may seem pointless to the world. They think, how can this person who is stuck in this horrible, horrible situation, into a pit of despondency, when circumstances seem to be going completely contrary and opposite to how they were, how can they? But this is fine. I'm going to praise God. I can't see my way through this job situation, but I'm going to praise God, believing he will have the answer for me. In the meantime, he will give me the strength, the courage, the integrity to remain in that situation until he moves me on. That's the way of God. May not be the way of the world. Praise invites God to act. Now, friends, I realize that there is an illness known as depression, big depression. I realize that, friends, and for those who may be really under attack in that way, suffering from it, it is easy to say words. But again, praise does invite God to act. If not, we go further and further under, if you will, we're in the enemy's territory. Hallelujah. So Jonah had a wonderful deliverance. Jehoshaphat, Judah, had a wonderful deliverance. What does Psalm 50 tell us? Psalm 50, verse 14. "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." That's God's word to you, inviting you, inviting me. Yeah, you may be in trouble. Call upon me. Lift your voice up to me. I will deliver you. Praise invites God to act. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Praise God, friends, in advance, whilst you're still in need. Offer praises continually before God. Friends, some are listening to the father of lies. Some in this congregation, I believe, have been listening to the father of lies. The word of God for you this morning and for me is, instead of listening to the father of lies, who is a thief, who destroys, just wants your destruction, instead of listening to the father of lies, make sure he's listening to the praise of God. Make sure he's listening to you praising the Lord. He can't abide that. He can't abide that. Instead of listening to the father of lies, make him listen to you praising your heavenly Father, to your heavenly Father for your deliverance, for your healing, for salvation, for victory in your marriage, victory in the workplace. Do you know, friends, when is the only time we should not be praising the Lord? Tell me. When is the only time we should not be praising the Lord? I know when we're sleeping, forget that. I mean when we're conscious and we can still praise him in our sleep. But no, when we're conscious, when we're awake, when is the only time? I'm going to contradict myself in a minute, but don't worry. Did I help you? What about the scripture? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The only time you and I should be praising the Lord is when we don't have breath in us. That's the only time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's biblical. That's scripture. It's an exhortation. It's in there for a purpose. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. We are listening to too much moaning and groaning. We are talking the talk of the world. Our conversation is too much on this level, rather than with an eternal perspective. I am the Lord. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what's happening to my work situation. I don't know what's happening to my family, my relationship. It seems to be going pear-shaped. But I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to humble myself, just as Jehoshaphat, just as Jonah, humbled themselves before the Lord. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord. Seek to hear from him, to be obedient to what he's calling, but I'm going to praise him because the answer's around the corner. Praise invites the Lord to act. It doesn't manipulate him, but he listens to the praise of him. He says, this person, this family, trust me. They believe in my sovereignty. They believe that I'm a God who is their heavenly Father. They believe in me, the one who will strip off some of the bad branches which is bearing no fruit. They're still trusting me. Praise God. Friends, faith without works is dead. In everything give praise, for this is the will of God for you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Friends, murmuring, complaining, criticizing, judging becomes a habit. The world can do that. We were once like that. That's what we were once like. But now we're a people of faith. A people who have been saved, rescued, delivered. So thanksgiving should be coming out of our mouth. When we first greet each other, is it, or is it, do they see the joy of the Lord? Despite perhaps physical pain, they still see. People still see the joy of the Lord. Not putting a mask on is not being hypocritical. It's saying, I know God is for me. And if he's for me, who can be against me? I'm praising him even while I'm in the pit. Yes, I'm crying out to him for mercy, for help, for deliverance, but I'm still praising him. He's a good God. He doesn't deal with me as my sins deserve. I'm praising him. Whoso offers praise glorifies me. Because your love, your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, maybe I don't, but God does. Hallelujah. And he is able. Praise him, friends, because to withhold praise is either unbelief or ingratitude. It's either unbelief or
ingratitude.
Let's think of a character in the New Testament, or characters in the New Testament. Paul and Silas. You know the story. They're singing at midnight. Their backs are bleeding. Their feet are in stocks. But they're praising God. Deliverance comes. Their chains fall off. God responded to their trust, their faith, their praise. Praise invites God to act. Real faith, friends, rejoices in the promises of God as if it has already seen the deliverance and is already enjoying it. So back finally to our text, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Levites went ahead. They rose up. They were praising the Lord. They were praising the beauty of holiness, verse 21, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Hallelujah. God saw their predicament. God saw that without his help, they were going to be annihilated. They were going to be destroyed. And the enemy may be saying to you, you're going to get destroyed. There's no way out of this situation. But aren't you pleased? Jesus Christ, Son of God, is at the right hand of God, making intercession even for you now. Don't give up. Don't give up. He's our great sympathetic high priest. Thank you, Lord. They praised the Lord with a high voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19. They stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. Their only evidence that their prayer was answered was the word of God, and that had come through a human, human lips. The next day when they went out to battle, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord moved and set ambushments against the enemy, and the victory was won. Faith in God. Faith in his word. Friends, listen. Is it rational? Is it spiritual? Is it godly to believe the father of lies in preference to the Son of God, who is the incarnate word, who is the incarnate truth? Is it? Friends, don't give him time. Is it rational? Is it godly? Is it going to help the situation by listening to the father of lies? Let's listen to the Son of God. Friends, as a child of God, we're going to meet the devil head on. And he'll try and get the advantage over us, if he can. Whether that's in our marriage, whether that's in our health, whether it's in our evangelism, in our work. If we're not meeting the enemy head on, it means we're going the same way as him. Isn't it? Doesn't it mean that? He can't leave us. You know, it means he's leaving us alone. We don't have to be intimidated. I'm not listening to you anymore. Get behind me, Satan. It is written. It is written. It is written. I'm going to rejoice in my God. When coming to the Lord for salvation, for deliverance, for healing, for that breakthrough, keep the eternal view thing in mind, please, friends. Keep the eternal view in mind, but it is essential for each one of us to decide whether we will allow the hiss of the serpent to rise above the voice of God. I say no. No way. I'm listening to the Lord. Friends, you know Jesus said, I can't do any miracles here because of the unbelief of the people. Not through his unbelief. He was the Son of God. He had all power. Do what the Father told him to do. No problem, no trouble. He said, I can't because of their unbelief. Move on. Pray that's not so with us. Pray even now, Father, please, Lord, take away this sin of unbelief. Where we've listened to the hiss of the serpent, the father of lies. Where we've lost hope, or moaning and grumbling, instead of being a person of faith, a person of joy. Forgive, Lord. Please forgive me. Please forgive. Work, Holy Spirit. I hope you're praying this. Work, Holy Spirit, now in my life. My attitude change. Help me first to seek the kingdom of God. Help me first to seek the treasures that are in you, Lord. Help me to renew my mind in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God. Help me to set my affections, my desires, on things above. And you will give what I need. Thank you, Lord. I want to be set free from habits which do not glorify you, Lord, which dismay other people. Come, Lord, lighten the load now. I invite you to take that burden away, that burden of guilt, that burden, Lord, which maybe others have put on my back. I invite you because you have invited me to cast it upon you. Take your yoke upon me. That which is light, that which is easy. Pray, O God, compassionate High Priest, Lord God, melt any hard hearts of unbelief. Soften us now before you, Lord. We invite you to do a work. What some of my dear friends are facing, Lord, is far too big for them. But may their eyes be up unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.